In Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." I titled this lesson, "Why Am I Talking to God?" I think there's a need for prayer, obviously. But I think there's a need for more of it, especially in the world that we live in today. I kind of struggled on how to start this lesson, how to begin it, because I don't want to speak negatively of prayer or view prayer in a bad light. But the problem is that to get to the positive about prayer, I almost feel like I need to begin with the negative. Because I'm 43 years old, and in the past 43 years, I think the world has changed in a tremendous way. Just from the time that I was a kid, and I grew up in the backwoods of Tennessee, and it was a little bit different than any city life that I've ever been a part of. Never thought I would live in Ohio, but I live in Ohio now. But the world's changed a whole lot. And the way I grew up was just different than the way that it is now. And I really just think that a part of what we need to do is really just kind of get back to the basics of life. I believe that prayer is a basic of life. It's kind of like brushing your teeth or combing your hair. It needs to come naturally. It needs to be something you do often. And we're kind of missing that in the world today. When I was growing up, when it came to prayer, prayer was something that was just a part of your everyday, and it happened often. Prayer did. It happened in a lot of areas of my life, probably yours too. It was something that was just normal for it to happen, for it to take place, and in a lot of different settings. For the most part, prayer was pretty specific in nature, but it could cover a lot of topics when someone offered a prayer. And a lot of that really depended on the setting in which you were in. Prayer was done alone. It was done in assemblies, and it didn't matter if it was an assembly of 5 or 5,000. Prayer was led by man. That's how I grew up. There was no real set schedule of offering a prayer, when to offer a prayer, how long a prayer needed to be, what it was for. Prayers happened when they needed to happen. That's how I remember it growing up. Prayer was offered for anything, at any time, for any reason. It was offered before meals. It was offered before bed. It was offered at a football game or a baseball game. It was offered everywhere, and when a prayer was offered, it was respected. Everyone showed respect. It was always offered to God. Prayer was respected in every aspect of life, from the way I remember it. It didn't matter if you were at home. You bowed your head, you held the hand of your brother or sister or your mom or your dad when you offered a prayer. That's the way it worked. When you were at church, I remember the older men, I remember them stepping out into the aisle and bowing down on one knee when a prayer was offered at church. If you didn't do that, you grabbed the hand of your spouse next to you and you prayed together to God. At a game, when you were with friends, even growing up, you held the hands of your friends next to you when a prayer was offered. Maybe you embraced and put your arms around the person next to you when a prayer was offered. Respect was given. Everybody stopped what they were doing. You took your hat off and you respected God when you prayed. That's how I remember growing up, and that's how I remember prayer. Life today has evolved from that. It's changed. It's not that way now. In the world today, prayer is mocked. Prayer is forbidden in a lot of places. Prayer has been banned from a lot of places. Prayer's been forgotten. It's been disrespected. There's no respect given when a prayer is being offered to our God. So this poses a really big challenge for Christians. For people in general, maybe, but for Christians, for me, maybe for you, it poses a really big challenge. And I think it's something that we need to address, because as human beings in today's world, it's an absolute struggle sometimes. At school, seeing how your children have to go through things at school, what they're faced with. The challenges that they see, the things that I didn't see when I was growing up. It is a real challenge. I have 5 children. It's scary what the world holds for them. So I think that even in this struggle, we need to be able to get it right. We need to be able to see more accurately what God talks about. We need to talk about why I'm talking to God. We need to talk about prayer. We need to understand it. And why are we doing it? What's it for? And I think that in today's world, we do have a need to voice our opinions. And a lot of people have their need to voice their opinions about religion or about prayer. And they feel the need to voice it anywhere and everywhere. And that's part of the disrespect that I feel that's given to God, that's given to prayer, is they believe that they need to have a stage anywhere and everywhere for screaming and hollering about religion. I believe that we as Christians, we have a stage where we can scream and holler and yell and do our thing. But I think that's in your bathroom at home in front of the mirror a lot of times, at least for me it is, the screaming and the hollering. We don't necessarily need to come out in front of everybody and do what the world does and treat people with the disrespect that they are treated with when it comes to voicing our opinions about religion. I think there are a lot of people that feel the need to dispute religion, to dispute and argue against prayer and what it is. They have this need to voice that, and it's so disrespectful that it is absurd to me, and it kind of blows my mind how people can treat God. But prayer is one of those things that is being challenged at every turn, in every respect. So how do we respond to that? Like, really, how are we supposed to respond to people going against God? To people banning prayer? To people rejecting prayer? To people forbidding you to pray in certain areas, in certain places? I honestly think that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you do your prayer. You reach across the table in that restaurant, you grab your spouse's hands, and you offer a prayer. Nothing holds you back. You don't need to be embarrassed because of it. You don't need to hold back. We need to do it. We need to be prepared in any place, in any point in time, to offer a prayer. Because there are moments in time when prayer is needed just right then, right now. It's emotional for me right now, because when you think about Gwen's grandmother just died, and I think about that, and I think about the prayers that were offered over the past week when all this was taking place. There are moments when you get that call that it doesn't matter who you're standing in front of, who you're around, you need to pray. You need to feel close to your Lord. We have to be able to do that. Early last year, about a year ago, in Cleveland, Ohio, one school district was forced to ban prayer before athletic events. Forced to ban prayer. It was called a civil war in this school because there were students that were wearing shirts that say "Prayer Matters." But then in the other respect, there were students that were wearing shirts that says coexist. They called that a civil war. That was just a neighbor to hear where that took place. In Georgia, a school district banned its coaches from participating in pre-game prayers with their student athletes. Both of these school districts received letters from an organization called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Listen to the title. Freedom from Religion. Both of these schools received letters from this foundation, and their representatives basically said the act of leading students in the prayer is a violation of your First Amendment. That's absurd to me. The letter said, and I quote, Coach Small's conduct is unconstitutional because he endorses and promotes his religion when acting in his official capacity as a school district employee. The letter said certainly he represents the school and the team when he acts in his official role as head coach at the high school's football team. Therefore, he cannot lead his team in prayer, and he cannot organize or advocate for students to lead team prayer either. Maybe you've heard of similar stories. Maybe you've been involved in stories such as this. Prayer being banned, coaches banned from it. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's schools or wherever it is. Maybe you've seen that, heard about it, and you've had this conversation, which is kind of a hard conversation to have sometimes, because you do want to stand up and scream at people sometimes. You're banning prayer. It's a God-given right for me to pray. So I'm not going to stand in front of a bathroom mirror and scream and holler. I'm going to do it right here in front of you guys. We do have to get back to basics. We have to get back to basics, to what it means to pray, to what it means to talk to our God in heaven. Romans 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you all know this scripture. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." These scriptures tell you to constantly be praying, to always be praying, to be involved in it. It is you. It is part of who you are. You are to be constant in prayer without ceasing. Offer everything to God. The scripture says everything. You are not limited. We are not limited on what we talk to God about. It should be everything and anything. And it should be always. Everyday life includes eating as much as it should include prayer. One writer said, "Eating keeps your body alive and prayer keeps your soul alive. Praying is more important than eating because your soul is more important than your body. Your soul is more important than your body because your soul is you, your personality, yourself. Prayer keeps your soul alive because prayer is real contact with God, and God is the life of the soul, as the soul is the life of the body. If you do not pray, your soul will wither and die. Just as if you do not eat, your body will wither and die." The power of prayer is unquestionable. It is so powerful. It is so unbelievably powerful. 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. He's listening to everything we ask of Him. John 15, 7. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There is a lot more than prayer going on here. Belief, understanding, trust, faith, all that's taking place. If you believe in God and you request of Him, He's listening. He will hear you in every single request. John 14, 13 and 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that scripture? You talk to your God and ask Him anything, and you believe it, and you abide in Him, He's going to hear you. He's paying attention to you. The power to heal, the power of the righteous, the power to take away sins. We're privileged to be able to offer that to God. We're privileged to be able to speak to Him. We're privileged to be that close to our God that we can conversate with Him and talk to Him anytime, anywhere. It's that simple. John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Christ did this for us. His desires for us to be in heaven. His desires for us to be in heaven with Him, and that, to be in heaven with Him, is impossible without prayer. His desires for us to be with Him in heaven, it is impossible to get there without prayer. We have to speak to our God. We have to talk to Him always. And I truly believe it's impossible to get to heaven unless you can talk to your God. We have to be able to do that. How are we going to know Him? How's He going to know us? So why do we pray? Why do you pray? We need to have a relationship with Jesus. That's why we pray. Having that relationship with Jesus Christ is so important, especially in the world that we live in today. So important. Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to turn over there. I want to read a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Listen to the words of Paul here. Listen to what he says. He says, starting in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I bow my knees, every family in heaven, that Christ may dwell in your heart, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints who Jesus Christ is. We need to be filled up with Christ. We need to have that relationship with Him. We need to wear out the knees in our pants because we're bowing to Him. We're paying attention to Him. Because when we do that, we give Him our attention, He absolutely is going to give us His attention. He's going to listen to us. So why do I pray? I also pray to help me stay away from temptations. I've already said the world right now is crazy to me. It's full of worldliness and sinfulness and Satan. Who is the God of this world? He's fighting us. If you remember in Luke chapter 22, Luke kind of sets the scene for us. Starting in verse 39, he says that Jesus and his disciples leave the upper room. And if you'll remember that this is the night before Christ's crucifixion. He sets the seam and says that they make the hike and head up to the Mount of Olives. Jesus and his disciples. And the disciples are, they're already troubled. They're already full of sorrow. They're having some problems because of everything that's taking place. And Jesus knows what's coming. He knows what's about to happen. He knows the temptations that they're going to face. They're going to see his capture. They're going to see Jesus captured. They're going to see him put on trial. They're going to see him scourged. They're going to see him being mocked and lured into denial and ultimately his crucifixion. Verse 40 says, Jesus knew what was at hand and he said to them, pray. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. This is Jesus talking. He tells us that the way out of temptation is to pray, to talk to him, to build up and strengthen our walls of faith, to strengthen our own courage, and to fervently offer prayers to God that he will help us through those temptations. Jesus goes back to praying to God here. Talking to him, and an angel comes alongside Jesus Christ to give him strength. Because remember, he knows what's about to happen. He knows what's going to take place. Imagine Christ on his knees. He's in agony. He's fervently praying to God. He's being strengthened so that he can continue with what needs to take place. He has an angel from heaven there to help him. His prayer is so intense and so heartfelt that he's sweating, and his sweat is like drops of blood hitting the earth while he's bowed there on his knees talking to God. All the while, Scripture is clear that Jesus will do whatever God asks him. He's going to do whatever God asks him. And he settles this with God when he says, not my will, but thine be done. Now imagine as he gets up from his prayer. He's exhausted. He's covered in sweat. He walks over to his disciples, and what does he find? Finds them asleep. That's right, he finds them asleep. So he arouses them, and I think probably not so gently. He arouses the disciples. He wakes them up in their sleepiness, in their crankiness, in their awkwardness. And in verse 46 it says, get up. Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That's why we pray to our God. He's teaching us to always be praying. Allow Christ to dwell within us, so that we can fight off, build up our defenses, fight off, and not give in to those temptations of this world. So the final reason I want to share with you on why I need to talk to God, why you need to talk to God, is because he's going to listen to you. I don't need any other reason. He's listening to me. God, all I've ever seen is his works. I haven't seen him face to face, but I know he's listening to me when I talk to him. James chapter 5 and verse 13 through verse 16, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Are you suffering? Then you need to pray. Are you struggling? Then you need to pray. Are you happy? Then you need to sing. Is anyone sick? Then you pray to God. The verse says, if you are sinful, if you are lost, you talk to God. If you have anything to confess, if you want to be healed by God, then you talk to Him because He will listen. Do you know people like this? Maybe that doesn't even describe you. Maybe you're not suffering. Maybe you're not full of sin or lost. Do you know people like that? Because you need to pray with those individuals as well. We have to be regularly praying with passion and enthusiasm, wearing out our pants because we're bowing to our God. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world wants to ban or forbid or forsake or disrespect. We do not need to do that. We need to always fervently be praying to God, never ceasing. In closing, I started this lesson saying that I remember the past. And I remember how it was better than it is now. And I can say that and I can believe that. The world today is tough. Absolutely, it's tough. But we have the same thing then as we have now. We have God to see us through it all. We have Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins so that we can live forever. And that's the invitation for us. Do you want to live forever? Because that's the offer that God gives us. He gave us His Son who lived perfectly, unstained, and He went through that terrible death, but wonderful death on the cross for us. He suffered so that we don't have to. All we have to do is pray. All we have to do is take upon Jesus, use His example for ourselves, give ourselves to God, and never stop praying. If you need your sins washed away, you can't step out of this building without doing that. If you need the prayers that we've been talking about, you can't step out of this building without allowing the people that love you the most sitting right here to pray with you. It's important. It is a great thing that we have, and it is an awesome and amazing thing that we can be that close to God. If you have changes in your life that you need to make, I want to ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.